Hey, welcome to Youth Ministry in New Zealand. This is a podcast we hope will equip, inspire, and uplift all those who want to see young people thrive. And welcome back.
Kia ora.
You're with Jasmine and Tim
on Youth Ministry in New Zealand.
Woo.
It's a good day.
It is a good day.
Yeah, how's your morning been, Jazz?
Pretty good. We got coffee and a scone. It was delicious.
I didn't actually get coffee.
That's true. You got some weird turmeric thing.
Yeah, but I put a shot of coffee in it because I can't bring myself to drink these slightly weird drinks without coffee in them.
Too fancy for you?
Well, I just... No, I just need coffee.
I'm just like still on the youth workers mocha. It shows my age, I think.
One day you'll grow up to a real ministry person.
But the other day when we were in Wellington, actually, I had a real coffee and it was not too bad, but I kind of like the marshmallow.
it still had chocolate sprinkles on it.
That's true. And that's what I like, eating the foam. I think I want a fluffy, but I can't bring myself to get it.
Next time we go out for coffee, I'll order you a fluffy.
Oh, no. So embarrassing. They give like actual sprinkles on a fluffy.
Oh, so good. Some places definitely do better fluffies than others, eh? It's just like, you know, like a fluffy and the fluff on coffee is just joy in a drink.
Yeah.
And I think we need those things in our lives.
I think we do.
Symbols of joy.
Yeah. Especially as youth workers when it can often seem quite dark, eh?
Mm-mm.
You just need a fluffy sometimes to pick yourself up.
Or you know, chicken and chips from the Centen.
Centen is our local dairy.
It's world famous, actually. It was in Jono and Ben.
It was on Jono and Ben, which is funny because when I first started this job, I would ask all the young people, so what's the cool thing to do in Martin? Like, what do you do for fun? And all of them were like, oh, we go to Centen. Like, I don't know why that's a fun thing to do because it's just buying chicken and chips. Go to Centen, then go to the skate park. That's like Martin.
I think it's a social space. Eh? Like,
I think
if you go
is.
To Centen, you're going to see someone you know and you're going to have a yarn.
Plus, they do have really good chicken and chips.
They do.
Yeah.
But enough about chicken and chips and things that make us feel joy and happiness, because the other thing that makes us feel joy and happiness is this podcast.
It definitely does, so far. Get back to us in like a couple of months, maybe.
Yeah, once it becomes, you know, work, eh?
Yeah.
No, this has been good. And we're here today because we had a conversation with a guy called Andy down in the Hutt Valley.
Yeah, so how do you know Andy again?
Yeah, so Andy's a mate of mine from kind of Anglican youth work circles. So we were in AYM, which is the Anglican Youth Movement.
As opposed to PYM, the Presbyterian Youth Movement?
No, you have a ministry.
Oh, sorry, ministry. Yeah, or don't, BYM.
Don't even Baptist try and be cool.
Youth Ministry. Yeah. Us Presbyterians are not quite as forward. We don't have movements, just ministries.
Yeah, so I know Andy through that, and we've done things like work on leadership development of young people as part of a network. And generally shared events and stuff together. So I got a lot of time for Andy, and I was really keen to have a yarn with him because I think part of this podcast should not just be about talking to people who are specialists in their field, but just talking to youth workers on the ground about what life looks like working with and hanging out with young people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Definitely. And I kind of loved that while we were having a conversation with him, ministry was still going on. There was actually a prayer meeting happening in the background when we were recording, which you can kind of hear, and I think we might mention it at some point.
Yeah, we definitely do because we ask him about rhythms in his life, and he points out that we're distracting him from the prayer meeting. You're supposed to be at.
But like, that's a great thing about being with an agile youth pastor is that ministry is going on all the time.
And it's a great, you know, going back to symbols and pictures, you know, it's a great illustration that actually ministry never ends, even when we clock out, so to speak. Ministry so never ends.
Never ends.
So let's go to that conversation now, and we really hope you enjoy listening to what Andy has to say, and we'll see you in 25 minutes. So
Kia ora and welcome back to Youth Ministry in New Zealand. We are here in the lower hut of the Wellington region with the famous Andy Spence, who was just telling us he had 10,000 people through his church last weekend.
Mm.
I think that does count as fame, bro. So Andy, why don't you introduce yourself to us and our listeners?
Kia ora, I'm Andy. I have been doing youth ministry for 13 years and I'm married to Emily. We live in community with a bunch of other youth workers trying to help young people out through what we do. I'm a keen hockey referee, so that's part of my thing. And yeah, I own a cat. So that's important.
That is important. That is what's the cat's name?
The cat's name's Luna because she's a bit of a lunatic.
Aww. Nice. Yeah. Probably fits in well with the family, then, eh?
That's right. Part of the crew.
Yeah. Love it. Hey, like, first question then, man, because we've been talking to a few youth workers today as we've gone around and done some interviews, and I'm really interested in longevity. So you've been doing youth ministry for 13 years. A lot of people seem to get into youth work and get out again pretty quickly. Tell us what's kept you in. How have you stayed in the game for 13 years?
For early on, for me, it was really important to journey long term, and that was hammered into me in Christchurch, of like a sense of, like, if you want to impact young people, then you're going to have to see them through a long period of time. So it was always about like doing 5 years, 5 years plus. Mm. And so that was sort of the journey. Mm. I ended up doing 7 years at my first parish. And so that was like a great building block for actually seeing change in that place and seeing young people come to faith and seeing actual development of the youth ministry program and what's going on into a space that was actually sustainable. And so I think for me, that was encouraging. Yeah. But I also think, just having that drive to say, actually, I'm going to go long here, not hard.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a little bit here and there to just really be able to last, you know, the 5 years that a young person needs to get through high school or the 7 years to get from intermediate to the end of high school. Mm. So that's...
What kind of difference did you see between year, like, 2 and year 6?
So I found my first 6 months was horrible.
Yeah.
I got told by my group of leaders that I was the worst youth pastor I've ever had. Oh. I had church tell me the same thing. Mm. And so that was awful. And I'm really not sure how I kept going at that point. But after 2 years, it was like, oh, actually, what I've been harping on about and continuing to teach and tell the team is actually coming to fruition. So it's actually like seeing some change. It's like, wow. Mm-hmm. And by year five, it was like, oh, I totally know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm capable. And like, now it's just about passing that on to other people. So I actually, like, the funny thing is the first 2 years were hard work and awful. And yeah, I mean, I can totally see why people pull out. But the 3 to 5 year mark was like easier because it was like, I now had worked through those issues and got to the space where I was now able to actually achieve something, which was what my dream was the whole time.
Sure,
So,
I mean, I guess what wisdom would you want to share with people who are in that 1 to 2 year kind of place and who may be really wrestling? What would you want to say to them to help them stick it out and get to the point where they're seeing the fruit of ministry?
I think you have to take small wins. You know, there's a whole heap of struggle, there's church politics, there's all that sort of thing. So how can you see small wins in just everything that's going on? So, you know, maybe a young person turns up to youth group and they haven't been to youth group for a month and you've worked really hard to get there. Like, that's a great win.
Yeah.
Like, and actually redefining our expectations are just so high that we want, you know, 50 young people to come to church and we want them to... And it's just not going to happen overnight. So I think if you get one to church, then great, let's celebrate that and have a party and be excited about it. And if five come, then great. But let's just like lower those expectations and celebrate all the little things that happen in the midst of that.
Yeah.
That would be my advice, I think.
Yeah.
If you're really struggling, I mean, I think you need to seek time to just be you and understand who you are. And not worry so much about what you're doing, but just who am I in that space.
I think that's a great lead in, and just talking more about kind of your ministry and what that looks like. So how does who you are influenced the way you do ministry? How have you grown into that yourself? And maybe start by telling us a bit about what your ministry actually looks like on the ground these days.
So my ministry here consists of really three things. So we have a Wednesday night youth group, runs for 2 hours, has about 20 young people connected to it. You know, about 12 of them show up every week. It's real fresh, it's real new. I only started here this year, so we're sort of building into that space. So that's it. You know, we run a pretty standard youth program of like games, a talk, and some small groups, and have some food around that, which is always helpful. So that's like the first thing. Our second thing is like we run a, we're right between the bus stop and the school. And so on a Friday morning, we serve waffles to about 80 kids on our doorstep as they walk past church. And we do a little Bible study with them together. So that's sort of our outreach, you know, making our name known, getting in touch with a bunch of kids that we don't have in church, all that sort of stuff. And then our third thing is we have a 24/7 youth group program with our Anglican school, which is attached to this. So I run the 24/7 youth group team, which is two girls going into school, mentoring, running programs, hanging out at lunchtimes, that sort of stuff. So that's the ministry. So my week is, you know, making all three of those happen in some regard. What was the original question?
Right, before we get back to the original question, so you do all the ministry plus living in intentional community, training leaders as part of an AYM house. Yeah. Tell us about that too and how that fits into the picture.
Yeah, so as part of our diocese, we run houses where youth workers live together and work on following God, working on each other and our relationships with each other, and then serving together in youth ministry somewhere. So we have weekly rhythms of like being together as a house each week, of coming to prayers every day, and then we're all youth workers at predominantly this our youth group. So that's a chance to train our leaders on how to do youth work, how to do youth ministry, how to use your home as a house of hospitality. That's
And is it true that you're missing prayers right now to be talking to us?
That's right. Everyone's walking past.
That's good. So the original question was talking about identity, who you are, and how that's shaped your ministry. So if this is what your ministry looks like, how is that reflected about who you are and how you've grown into that, particularly in this new, what, you've been here like 12 months?
10? Not even, 10 months. Yeah. I think what I realised early on is I'm not like the big, powerful, upfront, hugely charismatic person. I'm just more like the get along and do it, kind of work in the background. And so a lot of that for me has shaped how I run our team. And so our team is not, Andy has all the ideas and you guys just implement it. Our team is like, we're together on this. So let's everybody have great ideas and let's, how do we develop it together? And I just facilitate that. So, and that's very much my nature. I don't want to be someone who tells everybody what to do, but it's more like, how do I quietly just bring everyone with me? And so in that regard, me, very gentle, I think, very, you know, together, looking for consensus, that sort of thing.
Quite organised and strategic.
Yeah, so I'm not like, I have all the ideas and I want them implemented. I just want to facilitate the group of leaders coming up with what's best for our young people in this space. And somehow in the midst of that, listening to God and what he wants for them in this space. And,
What a good example, though, for other youth workers, because I think quite often we definitely fall into that trap of having to have all the answers. And I mean, that's what the church kind of employs a lot of people for, to be the person with everything. So have you kind of hit up against in the churches you're working at with that kind of mentality?
I think a lot of the churches I work with, they want like answers or what's your strategic thing on this or where are you going with that? And I just kind of, I almost have to deflect it to say, well, I'll go talk to the team and come back to you. Like, because in the end, it's not about me, it's about those young people. And so, you know, I may know some of them, but I don't know all of them. And so what's best for those young people is not necessarily what I think's best for the few that I'm in contact with, but actually what is this as a leadership team, and how do we wrestle through the conflicts in that? You know, my young people think this, my young people think that. How do we wrestle through those to find the actual answer that works for us?
Have you had a situation where you've come up with what you thought was a really good idea, then brought it to the team, and the young people have been like, no?
Yeah, all the time.
Give us an example.
It's really humbling, eh? Like, I thought it'd be a really good idea. Well, this is so funny. I thought it'd be a really good idea in Christchurch. This is a Christchurch example, but in Christchurch, our youth ministry did dinners weekly.
Yeah.
And so I thought it'd be a really good idea that if we didn't do those, because it was just a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of energy was being sucked up in just preparing a dinner. And then when we got to youth group, it was like, oh, we're shattered. We don't have time for anything else. Yeah. So I thought it'd be a really good idea to get rid of the dinners. And all the team were like, but that's the best part. Like, well, why the hell would we get rid of those? And it was like, oh, actually, yeah. Why? What was I thinking?
Yeah.
But in the, I mean, yeah. So in the end, we had to go with the team's decision because it was, they were willing to step up and do more for it.
Yeah.
And that meant that lifted the burden off me having to do it every week. So it became a lot more manageable. Really. But yeah, it's humbling because it's like, oh, actually, yeah, that's right. It's not about me.
Glory to someone else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. It's not about just the easy life for me. But.
Yeah. So tell me about living in a household full of youth workers.
Mm.
What has been the greatest joy and the greatest struggle in doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I was skeptical when I first sort of got proposed the idea. I think some of the greatest joys are that we actually get to see a lot of the changes, a lot of the influences that we have. And we get to be there for the moments when the young youth workers between 18 and 25 get, you know, have life-changing moments or things happen that just blow their mind. And you get to debrief that with them and to walk with them alongside that. From someone from last year, I had some of the teachers at our school say that they have never, ever seen someone change that much in a year.
Wow. Cool.
So, like, even the teachers at school who had nothing to do with our youth ministry but saw this person on a regular basis said, I've never seen anyone change that much in a year.
Mm.
And so that's really the joy. It's like, oh, my gosh, we're actually influencing the lives of these young people. We are changing their trajectory. We're helping them deal with their stuff. It's just, that's amazing. Of course, there's the flip side of that. I'm 30 and they're 18 and I've grown up a lot in those space. And so sometimes it's frustrating just watching like the same mistakes happen that you used to do and to see, you know, you have to fight and you have to have the conflict of like, why aren't you doing dishes and your mum's not here to clean up after you, you know, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And that's really the struggle, is just continually stepping into conflict with each other to get the best out of it. But it seems to work. And we always say, you know, if you journey with someone for 3 years, have a look at the difference that you'll make in that in that life. And so it comes back to that longevity thing, you know, like the battle today is a small battle, but it's worth it for the 3 years journey. So, so it's really, I think it's actually really important to reflect on that, you know, when you've done 3 years or when you've done, you know, 4 years or whatever, to reflect back and go, actually, where were we 3 years ago?
Sure,
And what's the difference we've made? I mean, that would be helpful for youth ministry as well, eh?
Because I think it is pretty easy to get stuck into the trenches, eh? You're just looking forward and you're just trying to figure out the next step and you forget to look back and celebrate what God has done, eh?
That's right, that's right. It's like, oh my gosh, this is completely different, or the culture's completely different than when I was, when I took over, or, you know, look what we've achieved, or look how many young people we've impacted, or how many we haven't, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Reflect on it, right? So.
So when we think about, like, one of the purposes of this podcast is to talk about doing youth work in the unique culture and time of New Zealand Aotearoa now. So what do you think some of the unique challenges facing young people in New Zealand are these days, and how do we as youth workers engage with those in a positive, holistic way?
So I think, I mean, the easy challenge that comes to mind quickly is our mental health status and the fact that we have the highest youth suicide rates in the OECD. So, you know, that is definitely some context that we grow up in that needs the light of God. It needs it needs Christ to illuminate that area of life and to bring reconciliation and restoration. So that would be, you know, I mean, that is a context that we just work in, and we have to be up on the signs of that, being able to point to that, where to seek help. We have to be up on that sort of stuff, because it's going to affect one of the young people in your youth group.
If not more, right?
If not more, like all going to be affected by it. Yeah. The school down the road had two last term, suicides in a term, and it's just like, it affects all of them, you know? So you've got 1,600 students there affected by.
And how do you work? I mean, obviously you have a bit to do with the school, so those two suicides happened, without too much kind of personal detail. How did you work with that in your community? How did you come alongside those young people who are obviously affected by that?
We worked a lot with the school counselling team, and so that was really important to be connected to that. But we're in school. I think also it was providing a space where we can reflect on that, but we don't see that as a good option. So it's providing that nice balance between, you know, life is worth living and there's stuff to live for here. And, yeah, that's really sad that someone took their life. And so our prayers rhythm of our AYM houses really helped that, because it provided a space where young people could come and enter, still hear the messages of Jesus, that Jesus is the light of the world. You know, yes, we reflect and there's heaps of people that have died or influenced us in our lives. And so we come to Jesus again and just ask him to help heal our brokenness. And our prayers rhythm is really integral. So when we get young people there, they hear those messages.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also a space where they can meditate and reflect and continue to dwell on what's going on. And we can interact personally with that as youth leaders afterwards.
Yeah.
How often do you have young people around at your house?
Probably at least once a week. So, they're more than welcome to call in anytime they like. We sort of have an open door policy. They come around for dinner, hang out. We had two on the weekend stay with us most of the day on Sunday. So that was really cool.
What do boundaries look like for you in that role of being wanting people to be a part of that, but also need to look after yourself?
Such a good question.
Yeah, it's I think for us, because there's a team of five of us at the home, we really work together as a team. So if it's my day off or some time that I'm reflecting or then the rest of the team carries that, you know, I carry it when they're doing the same. And so that we have a whole heap of safety policies and discussions around it. You know, if there's only one of us home, we say sorry, you actually can't come around now. Often there's, you know, and that's okay to say as well, oh, thanks for stopping out, it was great to see you, but actually we're busy now, or you know, that's actually okay. I think it's a good lesson to learn for young people that, you know, youth workers aren't always available, but also it provides, you know, them the ability to say no when they're busy. It's role modelling to them that actually we do care for ourselves and we do. Yeah. So we say it's okay to say no, but most often it's the team carry. So if two or three are working for the young person, then the other ones can reflect or be on study or doing whatever they need to do.
So, I mean, it's pretty important to be developing team in youth ministry, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I can do youth work and I can have 10 relationships with young people, but if I have 4 youth workers who I'm training, then they can do 40 people. So, I mean, the team just helps you achieve more in the space and have a greater capacity to do relationships with more young people.
So for you here in this context, in your ministry, what does it look like to build team? How do you go about that?
I mean, I think building team is about hanging out together. So the more you hang out together, the better the team's going to be. We do...
Another good reason to live with them, I suppose.
Eh? Yeah, well, we have, yeah. It's for what one way of doing it, I guess. But I think for the ones that don't live with me, it's about, you know, we do debriefs and we hang around after youth group well.
Yeah.
You know, we do spontaneous trips to McDonald's. It's about, you know, having them around for dinner, gathering them at the start of the year, and then giving them the opportunity to reflect continuously with you about how youth group's going. And, and you know, we turn up to church on Sunday. And so we see each other at least every week outside of youth ministry and sit together and hang out together. And So, I mean, part of it is just about spending time together. I think the next thing would be selling a compelling vision. Like, what are you actually trying to do here? And if we're on the same page missionally, then we can actually start to push into, hey, we're doing this together and come be part of it and join our space and... So spending time together, it's good vision. And, of course, you got to have some fun in there as well. I've just written down on my to-do list for the end of the year to make sure we get together for a dinner just to celebrate what's happened this year. Stuff like that is really important.
That's cool, no? Hey, as we kind of bring the conversation to a close, begin to wrap it up, should I say, I'd be interested to know for you and in your ministry what it looks like to be on the bicultural journey. You know, obviously we're doing ministry in New Zealand, Aotearoa, and there is the bicultural element. What does that look like for you, and what's your journey been around that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up in Christchurch, so not known as the most bicultural city in the country. So I think there's been a real lean in through 24/7 mainly. We went up to Waitangi and we stayed on site and we got to hear the story and see the places and understand the things. And so for me, it was like, oh, actually, the missionaries and the Māori worked together so beautifully in that space. There were conflicts, obviously, but together there was a unity amongst them, mainly. And so that's a great history that our country has, that actually we did it like no other country did in the world. And so for me, it was just understanding that and then going, oh, okay, so how can I learn more about this? Because this is really important to our nation. It's our context. It's the only place in the world where the Māori language exists. We need to hold this really treasure it and make sure it's really important. I think as I've moved to Wellington, it's become even more apparent because there's just you just have a greater affinity to people of different races. And so that's been really important to just really listen to what they're saying and not take my white Pākehā male approach to everything. So I think the bicultural journey for me has been about getting closer and leaning into the relationship. So whether it be through the stories that are told or whether it be through the people that are in my life, it's like actually by getting close to those things, I actually understand the picture better rather than presuming and assuming and just listening to what I've heard on the radio or in the newspapers or on TV. So it's slow, I reckon. I think it's a really slow process and you learn more the more you dive into it. And then a lot of the time I still stay in my Pākehā world. So it's I mean, the youth group girls that we had in Christchurch were just really taught me a lot around how to honour people, how to engage culturally with people, especially of Māori and the whānau and the togetherness and relationships that they have. So it's been a long journey. A lot of people, a lot of young people have taught me a lot of things about it. So
I find that too.
Like the more I journey with Māori young people, the more I get to know, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm interested and I'm willing to engage with what they're doing and where they're going and what's different about your family that wasn't, you know, that was different to mine, you know.
And I think, again, it's coming into youth work with that humility to actually not have the answers,
that's
not
right.
solve the problems, and to listen and learn from the lives of the young people where walking alongside, eh?
That's right. That's right. I mean, if I want to dive into the young person's world and find out what makes them tick. And so for a person who's living in two worlds, you know, the Māori world and the Pākehā world, then we need to understand both worlds to get to know that young person. So it's really important just to dive in and get to know things.
Well, hey man, thanks so much for your time. It's awesome to hear what's been going on in your life and what you've been up to. And I'm sure the stories you've shared and the reflections you've given are going to be an immense help to our listeners.
Yeah.
And we look forward to uploading this episode and sharing your wisdom with the world.
Hope it's been helpful.
Hey, bless you, man, and thanks again.
No worries. Yeah.
Back.
We are back.
Good convo, eh?
That's a good yarn, eh?
It was.
Hey, there's a lot of wisdom out there amongst kind of people working with young people in New Zealand, eh?
Yeah, I feel like I really appreciated that conversation for my own benefit.
Yeah, I think half the reason we're doing this podcast is just because we want to yarn with people and hear their stories, eh?
Yeah, I definitely think we should rename it Teaching Jasmine because she doesn't know a lot.
Yeah, Youth Ministry in New Zealand for Jasmine.
Yeah.
With Tim.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing it a lot longer, though, so I would expect you to have a bit more wisdom than me as a very newbie.
It doesn't mean I was any good at it for that length of time, does it?
I know some of your young people. They were my age. I feel like they all turned out all right. Well, some of them turned out all right.
They're all still alive.
That's a good start.
It is a great start.
Yeah.
And only one left the country to get away from me.
Did they actually leave to get away from you?
But, I mean, it was my cousin, so I can understand. I mean, it was fascinating, though, talking to Andy about being in for the long haul.
Yeah.
It was something that you were quite interested in, ages.
Yeah, definitely, because I think that's something that I am always very aware of. And shout out to the Longer Haul podcast, because they're the ones that got me really aware of that journey.
I don't think I know that podcast.
Oh, it's probably one of the best. For youth ministry, besides ours, obviously.
Shout out to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, no, the whole podcast is dedicated to what it means to do ministry for the longer haul. And I think that this conversation kind of brings up a lot of the stuff that they talk about, which is, you know, that actually to see real change in a youth ministry, we have to stick out for longer than like 2 years, which is what most of us end up doing.
What, sticking it out for 2 years or going the long haul?
No, sticking out for 2 years. You don't see many youth pastors that make it past 3.
Yeah, and I mean, Andy had his thoughts on that. Why do you reckon that is? Why do you think people sign out so often before 3 years?
I think for people my age, we don't really like being tied down. And so, for me, the thought of staying in one place for 10 years seems horrible. And when I told my brother that, he looked at me like I was crazy. But, like, I always want to be doing the new thing and the bigger and the better and, like, looking for new ways to kind of thrive and grow. So I think a bit of it is that. Another bit is that youth pastoring is often a stepping stone to other things.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is not a bad thing, like going into being a pastor, minister, priest, whatever you call it.
I wouldn't know about that personally.
Yeah, which is exactly what you did and what a lot of people do. And so, like, that's a good natural stepping stone. But again, sometimes I think we might jump into it a little bit too early and it's detrimental to our ministry.
Yeah, and I think definitely there are people who are called for a lifetime of youth ministry, not called to some kind of transitional ministry with young people, eh?
Yeah, well, Murray Brown is a really good example of someone that does it. Andy Spence is probably another good example of someone that's doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, others, it's just, well, especially if you get into it just as a job because you're looking for something straight out of high school or something as opposed to doing training.
It seems quite cool to get into it straight out of high school, eh? Like,
yeah.
I thought youth pastors and people working with young people were pretty cool, and I kind of wanted to be cool.
I mean, we are pretty cool.
It's funny you say that, eh? Like, I remember we were on a like a national Anglican youth leadership thing called Base Camp. It's now called the Abbey. It was one of the first ones. I think it was Base Camp 2.0. And like the final session we had was a bunch of, you know, experienced youth workers. So we'd all been in the job for like 2.5 to 3 years. Mm. You know, we'd been there for the long haul because no one else had stuck longer. And we're on this panel yarning to these like young guys who are stepping into youth ministry, and they were asking questions. And one of the questions was, what one piece of advice do you want to give us that you wish you'd been given? Mm. And I remember vividly what happened. Like, my mate who's sitting next to me on the panel like grabbed the microphone and aggressively goes, you're not cool. You are not cool. None of you are cool. And the sooner you realize youth work isn't about being cool, the better youth workers you will be.
Well, exactly, because as soon as you start trying to be cool, I mean, for a start, you're not. Let's just say that. Yeah. I think it's much more funny to be like cringe as possible. But also as soon as you start trying to like placate to what they want as opposed to giving them what they need, you run into all sorts of trouble because they – young people, I don't know, like at surface level, they want someone that's cool. But when you go any further than that, what they want is someone that cares about them, and they don't care if you're cool or not.
And they don't, you know, you're not there to be their friend.
No.
You are there to be a mentor, a youth worker, someone who can disciple them, input into their life, challenge and nurture them.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as being a friend, eh?
No, it's not. And I have found that the ones that I've become more like friends with are the ones that now I'm running into more problems with. Because I guess like boundaries are not the same with them, so it's harder to step out of that into a ministry role, which was just like my newbie problems.
Oh, hey, and look, I mean, reality is we're all on the journey somewhere and we're all going to make mistakes. And I guess the point of this podcast is not to stop anyone making mistakes, but to help us all learn together from each other's mistakes.
Exactly.
And to recognize that it's okay. Like, it's okay to misstep, it's okay to stumble, it's okay to make a mistake. But let's actually share that wisdom and learn together on the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else did you get out of what Andy said?
I think we had like a mean conversation about teams, actually.
Yeah,
we did. Because one of his points about longevity and being in the long haul was realizing, A, you're not cool, but also it's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in this for your own glory. You're not in this to control everything. So how do you work with teams and develop team?
Yeah.
I mean, what did you hear him say about team and what stood out to you from that?
Just that you can't let the pressure of being the most important person kind of be that, let that be your truth. Like you have to acknowledge that you're only there to facilitate other people being the most important people. Your team should always come, because actually it's true, if you're doing this discipleship model like we've talked about with Matt Chamberlain.
If you haven't listened to that podcast, go back to episode two and listen to that.
If you're doing it like that, then you can't disciple your whole youth group. You have to have a team around you to do it. And then you need to be asking them, because they know more about your team than you do. I mean, your young people than you do.
Well, I can connect with them more, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So I loved that he kind of always put the ownership back on his team.
When I was training in youth ministry through Praxis, shout out to Praxis.
Again,
yeah.
They should pay us.
Hard out, sponsorship, eh? One of the things we were taught is like, look at youth ministry as if you're trying to work yourself out of a job.
Yeah.
So never hold on to a role. Always be giving away responsibility, giving away control so that you're working yourself out of a job. And I think that's a really good model because, you know, for me, I like to ground a lot of things from my practice in scripture. And I reckon that's what Jesus did.
Mm.
You know, Jesus gathered a team around him. He trained them up and then he let them do the job.
Yeah.
And I figured, like, if discipleship and team building and working with the team is good enough for the Son of God, it's probably the right track we should head down to.
Probably.
I try to aim a little bit less ambitiously, though. If he did 12, I'm going to go for like 6.
I cannot imagine discipling 12 people and that the energy that it would take to do that. Maybe if you're doing it like Andy, though, and living in a house together, definitely would be easier.
Well, it's just that matter of time, eh? Like when you're living in a house, you can do the unformed and organic discipleship so much easier.
Yeah, it's like going on camp for like a long time.
Oh, totally. And I think it brings up an important point that when we're journeying with team and with young people, like the formed programs and the structure stuff is important, but the unformed, the organic, relational stuff is just as, if not more important.
Yeah.
And how we create time and space and rhythms for that is huge.
Yeah.
And what does that look like in your ministry, the unformed organic stuff?
Well, in Martin, it's super easy because I just see them all the time. So like yesterday when I was in Palmy, I saw two of my young people that just happened to be there, and they like came over and said hi and we started talking and we had a conversation. And I think it looks like that with young people. With our team, I think it looks like being friends and taking those moments to hang out like we did last week. We just came over after youth group and hung out, and we ended up debriefing and just chilling. And I think that's what it looks like to do it organically with a team. Do you reckon?
Hard out. I reckon sometimes, like, in order for the organic to happen, you needed to start with a structured.
Yeah.
So you create rhythms. You know, Andy talked about how they had rhythms of prayer and rhythms of hospitality and an open house policy. So you create those structures that then give the space for the organic to develop, you know?
Yeah.
So we, like, I've been working with a couple of guys here in town and just kind of reinforcing this model of, you know, like, you can pop around whenever, the door's always open, always happy to have a yarn as long as I'm there. And slowly seeing them actually take up on that. And it's because I make the most of the structured times, you know, always catching up at programs, how you going, let's talk about the real stuff. And so, like, last Sunday night, a couple of them just turned up.
Oh, you know, that's nice.
How you doing, Tim?
Yeah.
Can we yarn for a bit?
Yeah.
Sure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's probably the same for me. I started really structured with, like, making times on the weekend to hang out with my young people, especially the ones that come to church with us, and, like, being like, this is our time to hang out. And now they're asking me if I want to hang out, because that's, like, the thing that they've started.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's a really good, like, encouragement and challenge to anyone listening to the podcast is, like, no matter what youth ministry looks like for you, no matter what your role is or how you're engaging with young people, you can give them time.
Yeah.
Both structured and unstructured.
Uh-huh. And that's not just the youth pastor's job, eh? As the youth leader, as the pastor, as everybody.
100%.
Yeah.
Because actually time is what the young people need. It's our most valuable resource. And when we give them our time and care about them enough to stop and be present to them, they know. And that's, like, the most meaningful thing we can give them.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your challenge that we're leaving on?
Yeah, I mean, I've been reflecting on this because I knew you were going to ask me that question.
Love to take something away.
And I think for me, actually, the question is around, like, longevity. Like, so I've just started in this role, been in it for 10 months, and you're looking at the long haul. Like, we're here 5 to 7 years. Uh-huh. So what does it mean right now to be aiming for that goal?
Yeah.
And I think I need to do some reflecting around the way I am working with team to create that organic space that will carry on and give me the longevity I need.
Yeah, yeah.
What about yourself, Jazz?
I have not been reflecting on it because I don't think about the fact that I was going to ask myself this.
Don't lie, it's because you've been listening to, like, 4 other interviews we recorded to prepare for today.
Yes, but if I was to say one thing, yes, same for me. And I think I really have to be constantly reminding myself that this is for the longer haul, because my immediate response is, let's move on to bigger and better things. But actually, this is the bigger and better, and this is the place that
bigger and better.
Yes.
It's the people, eh? Not even just the place.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And this ministry can be whatever I want it to be. So actually, yeah, just spending time with God and saying, like, what does it look like for you to stick it out, or for us, me and God, to stick it out together.
And I think that's a great place to kind of wrap up today's conversation with that idea of, actually, at the bottom line, it all comes back to God.
Yeah.
It's His ministry, His people.
Exactly.
And we are just trying to be faithful servants.
Exactly.
And so we're going to wrap up the conversation there. Before we do, look, a couple of shout-outs to a couple of people who have helped us with this podcast.
Yep.
Really want to thank our, I guess he's a producer?
Let's give him that credit. Yeah.
Producer.
Charles.
Yep.
Yes.
So he does an amazing job putting these podcasts together, working on the music, et cetera, et cetera. So shout out to Charles. And we also want to thank Joe McMenamin.
We definitely want to.
For our amazing logo that he gave us.
Yes. We've beautiful got lots artist. Of compliments.
If you want to check out his stuff, just search Joe McMenamin on the web or on Facebook. You can see all his art, or pop into his studio in Fielding.
Awesome.
But hey, as always, guys, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your questions and your thoughts. Jump on iTunes and Spotify. Give us ratings and reviews. Of course, it helps everyone else find the podcast.
It really does.
And check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and the website Youth Ministry in New Zealand.
Woohoo! Yay. And we would love to hear what your challenge is for yourself, speaking about these couple of podcasts that we've recorded so far. Yeah. Thanks. See ya.